Will you pray with me, please? God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be found acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A few years ago, when our youngest son was just an infant, our family planned a road trip from our home in Fort Worth, Texas, to the Alabama Gulf Coast, a trip that would cover portions of four states and cover just slightly less than 700 miles. With such a long drive before us, we had planned to leave at first light, but the baby woke up for one of those 4 a.m. feedings, and we decided that, well, since we were already up, we might as well hit the road. So I very delicately pulled our twin sons out of their beds and tried not to wake them and strapped them into their car seat, still in their pajamas. The baby was fed and clothed and changed. And so as we pulled out of our neighborhood, the streets were empty. The skies were dark. All was quiet in the van. I sipped my coffee and prepared to settle in and make some tracks. But you know what happened next? We had gone precisely one of the 687 miles when a small voice called out from the darkness behind me. And if you've ever taken a long road trip with small kids, you know the question I was asked. What was it? That's it. Are we there yet? There and yet. Two simple words that convey much about arriving at a particular place at a particular time. And it strikes me that as we continue to navigate our way through this global pandemic and all that has come with it, one of the ways in which the pandemic has affected all of us is that it has created temporal and spatial dislocation. What I mean by that is this. How many times over the last year have we said, what time is it? What day is it? How many times have we found ourselves wondering when precisely we would be able to see and hug people whom we love? When have we found ourselves wondering when we would find our bodies in places that we used to go all the time, like a grocery store or a park, to say nothing of a sacred space like a house of worship? We have all experienced temporal and spatial dislocation. And although the pandemic is by no means over, at least here in the United States, we are beginning to see real light on the horizon. And so I think all of us, whether we're conscious of it or not, find ourselves asking the questions that come when we are experiencing temporal and spatial dislocation. Questions like, are we there yet? And in our story for today, we find the disciples asking those same kinds of questions of Jesus. And we find Jesus giving both a fascinating and a powerful answer. Last week, if you were with us, or if you were with us out there in Cyberland, you know that our high school seniors did an outstanding job of wrapping up our walk through the gospel according to Luke. You may remember that we began reading through Luke at Christmas and read it pretty much straight through, all the way through Easter. And beginning today and for the rest of the summer, we're going to be walking through another book of the Bible. This one is called the Acts of the Apostles, or simply Acts for short. And one way to think about Acts is as volume 2 of the gospel according to Luke. Matter of fact, if you were to pull all the 66 books of your Bible apart and reshelve them, no one would blame you if you shelved Acts next to Luke, because most Bible scholars around the world today agree that Luke and Acts were penned by the same author. And so we're beginning today in Acts chapter 1, but we pick up the story right where we left off last week in Luke 24. So with that background and introduction in mind, I invite you to listen for a word from God from Acts chapter 1, beginning at the first verse. Listen now for a word from God. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, Jesus presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. "This," Jesus said, "is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked Jesus, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" He replied, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." When he had said this, as they were watching, Jesus was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Lord, Lord, is this the time? Are we there yet? I submit to you that those are two different ways of expressing the same sentiment. There's somewhere we wish to be. There is a set of conditions that we would like to see come to pass, and that is not yet our present reality. And we'd like to know, how much longer? And in the disciples' case, they weren't talking about how many miles were left on a road trip. No, in the disciples' case, for over 900 years, their country had been ruled by one succession after another of foreign empires. The Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Persians, the Greeks had all ruled over Israel, and even now the Romans were in charge, militarily, politically, economically. And remember, the disciples had just seen Jesus crucified, and the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate, had affixed a sign above his cross that read, "The King of the Jews," so that there might be no mistaking what happens to those who would dare challenge Rome's authority. But here's Jesus, in the flesh, resurrected, having spent the last 6 weeks doing his two favorite things with the disciples, his two favorite things: teaching about the kingdom of God, and eating. And so they asked this question, "Lord, Lord, is this the time? Is this the time you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" And you probably noticed, Jesus doesn't give a specific answer. He doesn't give them an exact date and time, or even describe a set of conditions that must come to pass first. He simply says, "It's not for you to know. It's not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority." But thanks be to God, Jesus doesn't stop there. He gives them two promises. The promises are these. He says this, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And friends, if there's a thesis statement for the book of Acts, you know, a thesis statement, the main idea, there it is. As we're going to see, the rest of the book of Acts is really about the fulfillment of those two promises. The gift of the Holy Spirit giving people power to go out and witness to the truth of Jesus Christ, even to the ends of the earth. Are we there yet? My friend, I suspect that within your heart, you're asking some version of that question today. When will this pandemic be over? When will I once again be able to go and see the people and visit the places that mean so much to me? Or maybe for you, the question really doesn't have as much to do with the pandemic and more about what's going on in your own world. When will this season of grief begin to abate? When will that relationship that was broken begin to heal? When will this pain I feel in my body begin to subside? What about the pain in my heart? When will the bitterness and the division in our country, in our community, in our own homes, when will that begin to subside? When will this dream that we share of a nation with liberty and justice for all finally become a lived reality? Are we there yet? Oh, my friend, how I wish I could give you a date and time, or at least a set of conditions for which to anticipate. How I wish I had an answer to those questions, but I do not. And according to Jesus, apparently it's not for you or me to know the times or the periods that the Father has set by his own authority. I can't offer you concrete answers, but I can do this. I can point you to two promises that Jesus makes to you. First one is this: you will receive power from the Holy Spirit. You will. Not you might, not it's possible. No, you will. That is a promise. When you think you can't stand another minute, when you think you can't go another step, when you think you've just reached the end, the promise is the Holy Spirit will give you power. And in my experience, I often don't recognize the work of the Holy Spirit until after it's already happened. The Holy Spirit, in my experience, is sneaky like that. Sometimes the Spirit shows up in the form of a word from a friend or a colleague at just the right moment. Sometimes the Spirit shows up in the snippet of a song, or the simple beauty of the night sky, or in a still small voice, or in a thousand different ways. The Spirit is sneaky. But you will receive power from the Holy Spirit. That's a promise. You positively, absolutely will not walk alone. And the second promise is this: you will be Jesus' witness. Now, in our Presbyterian way of being the church, at least in many Presbyterians I know, we get a little kind of uncomfortable when someone says, "Can I get a witness?" or "What's your testimony?" That's just language that we don't speak a lot in this particular branch of the church. But I want to remind you that in this pulpit, 1 week ago, two young men and one young woman offered their testimony about Jesus Christ to you. They stood with here and they shared with you what they have seen and heard in their own lives and what they have come to believe to be true about Jesus Christ. My friend, you do not need a pulpit even to be a witness for Jesus Christ. You don't need to wait for the time and place to be just right. You will be Christ's witness, right where you are, just as you are. Here's what it looks like. A few examples. When you refuse to give in to cynicism and despair, you're being Christ's witness. When you refuse to meet hatred with hatred, when you refuse to respond to violence with yet more violence, you're being Christ's witness. When you choose to do what you know is right, even when you know it will not be popular, you're being Christ's witness. When you see someone who is suffering, and you say, "I see somebody going through something I've been through," and you share with them how the power of the Holy Spirit has showed up in surprising and grace-filled ways when you've been in a similar spot, that's your testimony. You're being Christ's witness. Are we there yet? No. When will we get there? 8 hours. That was a standard response. I don't know. I know this. You will receive power. And you will be Christ's witness. That is a promise. And it's not just for you. It's for all of us. All of us who call ourselves Christ's church. We do not know what the future holds. Just this past Tuesday, the church staff met right down there in the courtyard. We had our first in-person staff meeting in over a year. The last one we had was in early March when we had gone through the church calendar meticulously for the rest of 2020. We don't know what the future holds, but we know and we worship. And we serve the one who holds the future. And we trust in his promises. We trust that there will come a day when this pandemic is something we'll tell our descendants about. And they'll go, really, Granddad? I said, yeah, really. It was really like that. We trust that there will come a day when simple two-word phrases like social justice aren't yet another battleground point in the never-ending culture wars, but they are simply the lived reality of everyone with whom we share this planet, living socially and justly together. We trust that there will come a day when death and mourning and crying and pain will be no more, when God will wipe every tear from every eye. There will be no more night. God will dwell with us, and God will be the light. Are we there yet? It's not for us to know. The times are the periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But until that day comes, we don't stand around looking up into heaven. We trust in the promise. We will be Christ's witnesses by the power of the Holy Spirit. Even to the ends of the earth. Thanks be to God. Amen.